Hello, everyone, and welcome to College Football Showtime. I'm your host, Aaron Horton, as today we're about to talk about National Signing Day that just happened this past Wednesday, and we're going to talk about the transfer portal that just closed for players that wanted to enter into the transfer portal from a 45 window period that will not open until after spring practice. But I want to ask a question for everyone. How important is this last signing period that they have on February now that they moved it to December? And does it feel more lackluster than ever than the past couple of years when it was brought out that the early signing period was a thing back in 2018? That's a question that I've been asking myself for a long time since this early signing period came out. So that's a question that we really need to ask. How important is this last signing period? And what does the NCAA need to improve to where it does feel more like a celebration? What can we do to have this last signing period? Because it feels a little bit more dull than ever before. And I think that's really not good for the sport. And now with the early signing day, with kids signing early, kids getting into school early in the January part of spring camp, and they're trying to compete for starting jobs or get on the depth chart, on the deep depth chart to get playing time. I think the late signing period probably needs to be scrapped, but that's the question we need to ask. With players getting into class early, trying to compete for jobs, with coaches trying to get their rosters together. But we're going to talk about the top 25 teams. We're not going to talk about all of them. But if you want to get a good source, and that's 24/7 Sports, where they do their composites, and they have the top 25 teams where they talk about all the teams and what they did this past recruiting cycle. And I think they're one of the best around in the country. But we're going to talk about the top 10 right now with all the teams that started in that past top 10. Like teams like Notre Dame, Tennessee, Oregon, Miami, and all those other schools. You know, Alabama had a number one class again with all their five stars, but we're going to talk about right now at number 10 is Notre Dame. And most of this past cycle, in the 2023 cycle, they were number one for a long period of time back in the summertime of 2022, where they had the number one class at the time. It did take a little bit of a dip with Keon Keeley flipping to Alabama, which really hurt the class, but it's really a solid class with 24 stars. They have depth where they have guys where they can, in a position of need that they have. I think they did really good at the wide receiver position, where that's probably one of their most weakest parts of the team, where they need to throw the football. They need reliable pass catchers. And I think Marcus Freeman has had a priority to have more wide receivers in this recruiting class. And I think he's not done in the transfer portal. He might add more guys in the transfer portal. Then he did add Sam Hartman from Wake Forest, where he was a top quality quarterback in the ACC. And I think he brings an immediate impact to this offense, where they do have a lot of returning starters. And they look to build on their championship run going into 2023. They'll be a team to be on the watch out, where the schedule is a little bit more favorable. They still will be facing Ohio State. They do go to the South Bend in 2023, but Marcus Freeman and his Notre Dame Irish team will be a team to be on the watch out and keep an eye on. Good question mark around. Can this be a team that can enter in that four-team playoff format? And at number nine, you have Josh Heupel in Tennessee, where he will have a quarterback competition. You've seen quarterback Hilton, that was the starting quarterback in the Orange Bowl, where he did have quality reps. He had showed promise. He showed the deep arm in the Orange Bowl against Clemson. And he has the number one quarterback in this cycle, Nico. And I know it's going to take time to learn his name right now. It's a really complicated name. And it's something we're going to have time trying to come to pronounce. But I'm going to say Eni Wallaway. I know it's a tough name, but we're all going to learn it together. It's going to take time. But it's a name that we're going to hear for a long time with the Volunteers, with Josh Heupel, where he had a phenomenal year with his offense this past year. Fell off a little bit with the Georgia game and had a disappointing outing against South Carolina, but they show promise with their team and what he's trying to build with. Can they continue to push forward and continue to build on that momentum that they just had in 2022, where they beat Alabama? They gave LSU a complete beating in Death Valley, where it's hard to win in Death Valley. But it's a lot of things to like about the Tennessee Volunteers with Josh Heupel, who's a master on the offensive side of the football. It's just a lot of things to like about the Volunteers. You got Oregon with Dan Lanning, where this is his presence right now, where he is recruiting at the defensive side of the ball. They got Dylan Austin to flip from LSU to Oregon. Got quality players, five stars to come in that defensive line. They're going to probably hit the transfer portal to get a little bit more depth. But I like this Oregon class. It shows that they're trying to change things with the Oregon defense and be more disciplined, be more physical on the defensive line, have better corners. They signed another corner yesterday. They're bringing depth on that side of the football. You do have Bo Nix coming back on offense, where he's going to be a potential Heisman Trophy candidate. You got good wide receivers. He has depth. There's a lot of things to like about the Oregon Ducks. They have a favorable schedule. I know they're probably going to see USC. I'm not sure if they face Colorado this year, but it's still a favorable schedule for them. It's just things that you can like about the Oregon Ducks. Hey, is that a team that can get the Pac-12 to have a representative in the playoff and compete against USC, who is another playoff contender in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is looking more better as you look their overall conference-wise. You got Oregon State, USC, Oregon, Colorado. You have to keep an eye on with Deion Sanders. It's a really good time to be a Pac-12 fan, because you have more diversity, more parity in that conference, where you say, and you go to the committee and say, we have quality competition and quality football that you could watch on the Western Coast, where it has been a couple of down years the past couple of years, where the product has not really been really competitive or really deep in that conference. But this is a really good chance for the Pac-12 to show that this is a more complete conference and we can play more better football. And you have number 7 in Miami in the Hurricanes, where you have Mario Cristobal, where they did not have a good season this past year, where they were 5-7. Not much rhythm on offense. I know they got rid of their offensive coordinator in this past couple of weeks. They're going to go on an offensive coordinator search. We need to see what their identity is. Where they can start is with the two offensive tackles that they got. They're top 100 players in their position. You just see that's where the foundation has to start. They have to be more physical and show an emphasis of running the football, where they were not really physical at that point of attack. They do have Van Dyke coming back at quarterback. They're going to see how he does in spring practice, but there's a lot to like with this team that they have to be better at if they want to be competitive in the ACC, because Florida State is on the up. Mike Norvell has that team looking phenomenal right now. And I know Mike Norvell is not in the top 10 in this recruiting class, but he does have a top 16 class, where he is building in the transfer portal, who we will discuss that later with the Seminoles in just a second on that part of the show. But Miami has to get better. They have to be more disciplined as a football team on offense and defense, where they did show some flash points with their defense, where everything, it was a good momentum shift on the defensive side, but they have to be complete as a team, is which I feel they were not at times this past year. They do open up against Miami, Ohio, against the Redhawks in Miami. The big week of week 2 is where they play Texas A&M, where Texas A&M does come to Miami. And I think that's going to be a key matchup to see how this Miami team has improved from last year to this year coming up. And I think that's going to be a real telling point of where Mario Cristobal as a team, before we can really just really decide who they are when they face Clemson at October, the 21st of October on that Saturday. Because I think the first big matchup against Texas A&M is going to tell us a lot about that football team. Okay, you got LSU. When you think about LSU and Brian Kelly, Brian Kelly said just really exceeded all expectations this past first year, where he had his team to represent the West in the SEC championship back in December. And you can see the building points. Just think about it. 12 months ago, this past last year, this team only had 39 scholarship players on that team. 39 scholarship players on that team. And he almost has them at the 85 mark of a full roster. It's just incredible how he has built this team together where they're more competitive. It's really an overachievement what they did this past year, winning 10 games, where there was so much turnaround, so much continuity going. You don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback. If Kayshon was going to leave at Alabama, that was a big talking point last year with Kayshon, where it was rumors that he was going to go Alabama. They kept him in Baton Rouge, where he didn't have the greatest junior year that he thought, but he was a big contributor of that team, where they was a more complete offense, where they can get better on offense, but they were a top 30 offense this past year. And I think Brian Kelly has really brought a top six class and a top number one portal class, where he has everything. He has youth, and he has experience coming in. I think with Jaden Daniels coming back at quarterback, and you have a quality backup quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier, where you just feel like you have two good quarterbacks, and say you have something that complements the team together, where you have something you can build off of. They have a good wide receiver crew coming in with Jaylen Brown out of Miami. You got Shelton Sampson in your backyard from Baton Rouge. You can go into Maryland and get Deshaun Womack out of Baltimore, Maryland, who is a top 15 player in this class. You got Zalance Hurd out of Monroe, who will be teaming up again with his former high school teammate and Will Campbell, who was just a freshman All-American this past year. So there's a lot with this team that you could really go down and say he's bringing good quality players, especially in the trenches, that say he could compete in this conference. Well, it was really a question mark, but he's really passing the test, Brian Kelly is. And number five, you got Ohio State, and you got Ryan Day, where they were in the college football playoff this past year. And you just, it's just the typical Ohio State class, where he's really talented, getting really talented players in the wide receiver position. Brandon Ayers out of Florida. He's getting more guys in that wide receiver room, where that's really the strength of the team. Quarterback, it will be a concern, seeing who will be the starter, but we'll find out in the spring game when we get more information out of their camp and see who will be competing for that number one starting job. But the weapons is there, whoever the quarterback is. They just got to deliver the football to them, be more accurate, run their offense. And the defense has to get better. They were having moments at the time, but they do have guys coming back in that defensive room too. But they open up against Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana, where they go on the road against Indiana. They got Youngstown State in Columbus. They got Western Kentucky on September the 16th, and they get that big game of September at Notre Dame in South Bend, where I think that's going to be probably a top 15 matchup going into that game. So for the quarterback that's going to start that first couple of games, he has time to get the team together where he can bring chemistry so they can get ready for that Notre Dame game. But Ohio State will still be in the college football playoff mix going forward because they're a very talented team. They just have some things that they do need to clean up, that where they can be a national championship contender and possibly win it, which the Ohio State faithful is just waiting on them to get back to. You got Oklahoma. the Big 12 is really wide open going into 2023. I know the college, that conference is expanding this coming year with BYU, Cincinnati, Houston. And I forget who the other team. I know it's four other teams that are entering into that conference. But I think this is where Oklahoma has to take charge of winning this conference, where they can feel like going in the SEC in the next couple of years, where there is momentum with Dillon Gabriel coming in at quarterback again for his second year as the starter. They do get Jake Arnold, who was a top five quarterback in this recruiting class, but they got to build, they got to have something they could build on. They really wasn't good defensively this year. They was giving up too many points, getting shut out for the first time against Texas in the Cotton Bowl. But it's just Brent Venables has to improve on his defense, is which his forte. He is a defensive-minded head coach, where he was the defensive coordinator at Clemson with Dabo Swinney. But they have to get better at the football, because you can't really play off defense like that in the SEC, where they will be moving into, if not next year in 2024, guaranteed 2025. They have to be better defensively and offensively. They have to be more balanced as a team moving forward. You got three Texas with the same situation, where you do have Steve Sarkisian, who is the offensive-minded head coach that you could go in and say they could score points. But they were a very inconsistent team. They show flashes at times, Texas did. But you do bring back Quinton Ewers at quarterback, who transferred this past season. Started a couple of games. He did get injured in the Alabama game, where they will have their rematch September the 9th against Alabama. They will be going to Tuscaloosa and Bryant Denny Stadium, which probably will be a sellout. That should be a sellout that night. But that's a game that will probably determine this season too, where say where is this Texas Longhorns team is moving forward. You got Quinton Ewers, where he should be more developed as a passer with his teammates. You got Xavier Worthy at the wide receiver position. You have guys there, but they have to be better on defense. The same situation with Oklahoma, which you can say with Texas. It's just they have to be more consistent. They can't have cool days and hot days. They have to be more consistent as a team. And you got number two, Georgia, where I just feel like that's the number one team right now. You can't really ask any much from Georgia, where this is their number two class for the 2023 season, where they're just building and building and building, where there is much depth, where they don't need to enter the transfer portal. They could just build it off of high school players on the defensive lineman. They could stay in the state of Georgia and get players there. Kirby Smart has so many options on that team, where he said, I don't need to go in the transfer portal and get players on that team, where he just say I could use the high school recruiting. And I think this past offseason was the only time where you see he took multiple transfer portal guys in the wide receiver. He did take Robert Thomas from Mississippi State. You got Luther from Missouri at the wide receiver position. He has guys there at the wide receiver where they can push the ball down the field, where they have a number one guy to be the featured guy. We're going to see who's going to be the starter there in Georgia, either Carson Beck or any other the talented freshman quarterbacks in that system. But I think the spring game will be an interesting time to see who battles for that starting job. The schedule is more favorable for them. You do see them face South Carolina on September the 16th, so they do have time to get better as a team. They got Auburn on September the 30th, Kentucky on October the 7th. We really don't know how those two teams are going to be with new guys coming in at quarterback, with David O'Leary at Kentucky at quarterback. We really don't know how they're going to be at Kentucky. Auburn with new faces there, with Hugh Freeze as the head coach. We don't know who the quarterback is there, where they are bringing transfers at Auburn right now. So Georgia has a favorable schedule. They don't see Florida till October 28th. So the schedule is favorable. I think the most difficult game that year is the Ole Miss game and the Tennessee game. So they just have a very favorable schedule, where they're going to be in that mix again, where they can't three-peat with Georgia with Kirby Smart. It's just things to like about Georgia heading into next year. And at number one, you just can we just stop doubting this man at the point where he has brought in a recruiting record. Now, listen to this, 9 5-stars. 9 5-stars that just beat from last year's Texas A&M historic class where they brought in 8. And there were criticisms of Nick Saban this last offseason where he did make the comments about the NIL deals. And he was accusing Jimbo Fisher of his classes and say they were paying for players. And they didn't buy any player. But I think the national media and fan bases were criticizing that he was making those statements at the time. But he just showed you that he still has it. He is still the number one. He is the greatest coach of all time. Where he brings in 9 5-stars, where they can be contributors. He is bringing most of those recruits into spring, where they are going to be competing for jobs. And that's something this Alabama fan base can get excited about. You got Caleb Downs, who they really compared to Michael Fitzpatrick for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was on that national championship team in 2015, where he was just an all-around player. He was the leader of that defense that year. You got Caden Proctor, who they flipped from Iowa. Desmond Ricks, who they had a fierce battle with LSU in his recruiting process. You got James Smith, Rashard at defensive end. He's building in the trenches. He's trying to bring that typical Alabama team where they're physical at the line of scrimmage. They can run the football. Well, I think they have gone away from the past couple of 5 years with their passing attack with Tua Tagovailoa, Bryce Young, and Mac Jones, where they was throwing the ball down the field. And I think Nick Saban wants to get back to that, where they are physical at the line of scrimmage. They can use guys like Justice Hayes, who is a 5-star running back, have that deep room that he has good running backs in he can use and be more physical at the line of scrimmage. Because I think that's when Alabama is at their best in their championship run and their dynasty run, where they can run the football. They can bleed team. They can bleed the clock out, run, do things that they want on offense, be more creative on offense. And we're going to see what he's going to do with his offensive and defensive coordinator hires. He does have new coordinators he's going to bring in. And we will keep you updated on that right now, because we have heard rumors right now with Tommy Reeves at Notre Dame probably getting a job with the offensive coordinator. But that's news that still needs to keep developing, because there will be more candidates that pop up right now. But that's a name that's been floating around the past couple of days with Alabama and the Crimson Tide. Last but not least, we do have to talk about Lincoln Riley and his additions to the transfer portal, as he does add more players to this USC team. And I think they have to improve on the defensive side of the ball. That was just really not good defensive play this past year with 2022, where they could complement Caleb Williams and that very good USC offense, where he won the Heisman Trophy with Mario Williams at wide receiver. It's just they were too one-sided. They didn't come together. They're not a really complete team where they can't compete for championships right now. They very overachieved last year, winning over 10 games, going to the Cotton Bowl, but still losing to Tulane in the Cotton Bowl this past season. And they do have to get better on the defensive alignment. They do get Anthony Lewis from Texas A&M, who was a 5-star in that 2022 class. He is from that past historic Texas A&M class that transferred this past year. They do get Mike Mason Cobb from Oklahoma State, where he was all Big 12, with 96 tackles and over 13 tackles for loss. So he does bring a linebacking presence to that defense. They do get Christian Rowland from Arizona, a 3-year starter. They get Karen Barnes from Arizona too, who was his teammate with Christian Rowland. And they can still get better in the transfer portal. I don't think they're really done it on that side of the ball. They kind of go in the spring practice and see what they have on that side of the ball. They do bring more weapons for Caleb Williams with Matt Skies and Christian Grubb. So they're bringing stuff together. They're trying to get better, but they have to get better on the defensive side of the ball. They open up August 26th against San Jose State in LA Memorial Coliseum. They face Nevada and they face Stanford. So they have a good 3-week stretch where they will be favored. Then they're off on September the 9th. They face Arizona State, where Arizona State is going through a rebuild. They did get this pass yesterday with Jaden Rashada at quarterback to commit to them. So that will be an interesting game to watch, see where Arizona State is as a program and where the team is as a program. But I think the number one game to be really excited as a USC fan is that at Colorado, where they will be taking on Deion at Boulder, Colorado, where they will be facing Shazier Sanders, Travis Hunter, and that football team. We don't really know the full makeup of Colorado football right now, but they are getting good additions out of the transfer portal. So that will be a game to keep an eye on in the Pac-12, because we really don't know how the Pac-12 will look, but there are promising teams in that conference. They get here, they finish off with Arizona, and they go to Notre Dame to face the Irish in South Bend. Then they get Utah, then they go to California, Washington, Oregon, and they face UCLA. So their biggest heavyweights are at the end part of the schedule. And they have to figure out how to beat Utah, because they have lost two straight to them now. So they have to get better as a football team, because they will face their most steepest competition at the later part. So they do have games at the beginning to get right as a football team and get better as a football team. But I'm so glad for everybody to tune in today as we talked about this past National Signing Day, transfer portal, and we're going to look to be back with you soon for more college football news, maybe coordinator news, and what's happened at Tuscaloosa, who's going to be the offensive defensive coordinator for Alabama and Nick Saban. We're going to figure out what's available for everyone going into spring ball, who are the quarterback battles going to be, and who can be the new faces that could challenge Georgia and Alabama and all the big schools that have been competing for championships, and who is that upcoming team. But I'm glad for you to tune in today as we talk about college football, and I hope to see you soon as we talk about more college football news.